Well, good morning, church. It is so good to be with you guys this morning. I want to welcome everyone here. I want to welcome those of you in Prescott Valley that are with us. I'm so glad that we get to come together as one family. We get to worship God. We get to celebrate God. We get to celebrate what God is doing in our church, around the world, and we get to see life change right in front of us today as we celebrate baptism, which I'm super excited about. But man, I'm still reeling from Easter last week. That was incredible. You guys have a good time out there? That was so fun. First year we've ever ran out of parking at Watson Lake. It's estimated over 6,000 people were there last weekend that got to hear the gospel. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is a huge celebration. We want to celebrate that. And one of the reasons we celebrate is because it's a way for us to remember what God has done. In fact, at Heights, we say that there's some things that we are for. If you're going, what is Heights all about? There's some things that we go, this is what we are for. We are not going to deviate from this. This is who we are. And one of the things is we are for celebration. We're for celebration. And the reason is because in Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, I'll say it again, right? And usually when they says it again, it's like, okay, we got to lean in here. And he says, rejoice. Right, we should always be rejoicing in the Lord. And in the Old Testament, it was said this way, that when the Israelites were going through the wilderness and they were seeing God's provision in different places, God would say, hey, I want you to build an altar. And they were called altars of remembrance. And the altar of remembrance was so that when they looked back at it, they could remember what God had done. And the way that we build altars of remembrance is by repeatedly talking about the things that God is doing in our life and celebrating God. And so this is Celebration Weekend. And so this weekend, we are going to celebrate what God is doing in our church, what God is doing around the world. We're going to celebrate all those things. And there's this tendency to come in on a day like today and go, okay, so I'm not going to get anything out of this. And I don't want you guys to have that mindset, because here's the thing. We can be encouraged by what God is doing. Just because we're not going to hear a full sermon, you're going to hear from multiple people that are telling you of amazing things that God is doing. This is what families do. This is what the family does, is we lean into the celebrations and we celebrate by building these altars of remembrance and realizing, man, this is how good God is. This is what God has done. And it can be an encouragement to us as we celebrate together as a family. And so first I want to start by celebrating just locally and celebrating with some folks who've been a part of the family for a long time, and they are actually moving away. And they're in this service right now, Van and Debbie Putman. This is their service. And we want to celebrate. We can celebrate them right now. But we want to celebrate their faithfulness to live out what God has called them to. And they've served in so many different ways in this church. They've served in women's ministry through prayer, through planning events, through teaching. They've served as life group leaders. They've served as handyman ministry. They've served in kids ministry when needed. They've served in setting up chairs. They've served in every way possible in this church. And I want you to just hear from them. And I want them to have an opportunity to be able to teach you, and that you can be encouraged that God has given us gifts so that we can serve him with those gifts. So not only celebrate them and what they have done, but also celebrate as a family what God can do through you. And so I'd love for you to just turn your attention to the screens and watch this.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ.
We serve because we want God to be glorified and God to be praised through what we do. It's never been an obligation.
I've always felt compelled to serve. My father was a minister, so I was one of those PKs that was at church, you know, early and often. One of the reasons that I am so passionate about handymen is because we moved 15 times in 9 years when I was growing up, and all of the homes that we lived in were parsonages provided by the church, and all of them needed fixing up. And because of that, I had to learn how to do stuff. And so that brought me an education, but it also brought me great joy working side by side with my father and really instilled in me the drive to just, you know, help do stuff for people.
What I've learned in everything, especially in the gifting that I have, teaching, I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. It's very easy for me to know I'm a good teacher. So just to plan and do whatever. My teaching is thousands times better when I remember to pray first. I don't have a gifting for talking to people I don't know. And yet God called me to be a chaplain in the hospital due to the lessons I learned when my daughter was ill. And so I go and do that. And I have to pray in order to go into those rooms. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to do anything with a heart of joy if you don't have the Holy Spirit prompting you and if you don't obey that voice.
I've actually been doing the handyman ministry for probably about 35 years. As time went on, I grew and grew and grew because the Holy Spirit was grooming me, I think, to come here and start a ministry here. And for the last couple of years, I've been praying that God would raise up some leaders that could take over and continue the ministry so that it would be a seamless transition and so that it would not suffer. Well, we did our most recent work day just last week. And we had 46 volunteers, and we did 14 jobs on that workday. And it's the largest number of volunteers that we've ever had. And it's the largest single number of projects in the field at one time as well. That occurred not because I'm great. It occurred because the Holy Spirit is raising up leaders and team leaders and guys that are willing to shepherd other men in the field. And that is purely the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to put it, that God is seeing it through.
And I would say to anybody that still has no idea, what should I do? I would recommend that you find out what your spiritual gifting is and then look into ministries where you can do that. Usually you're going to need to step into a small role and let it expand as God leads you. But don't think, well, I don't have any gifts. I can't do anything. There are so many different ways to serve. And also don't feel that you have to do everything. I certainly can't do it all. There are things that I'll think, oh, I could do that. And God says, and when will you find time? And how will you minister to this? And well, else we'll let go. So don't always say yes. We aren't designed to do it all. It's the body. And we need to wait and see what God has for us. But we also can't live our life in waiting. We need to take action and serve God.
When it comes to serving, just do it.
Just step in. Everybody can serve coffee on Sunday morning or Saturday night. That's how you get started meeting people and becoming part of the church family. And if serving coffee isn't your cup of tea, then as you've gotten to know people, they'll say, hey, why don't you try greeting at the door or handing out the communion cups? Or we need somebody that's going to be backstage doing whatever it is. But you have to start somewhere. And the place to start is by joining something. It doesn't matter if you know anybody, you'll get to know them really fast. It's worth the effort. It's worth the time. Serving coffee will only take you a couple hours a week. You can find that time. Give up something else instead. It's worth it.
There's a place for everyone. If you don't know which end of a screwdriver is up, we'll still find you a place to work. We'll still find you something to do. We feed our men twice, breakfast and lunch. So food is part of what we do. There's all sorts of stuff to do. You might think of it even as there are 1,000 different jobs to do to make the team go forward, to make the kingdom work successful. And all of these different things have different opportunities for everyone. It doesn't matter how little or how much you bring to the table. It's all part of the family of God.
When I teach my Bible study, because it's designed to teach women how to study God's Word, I put together a notebook of study materials, and then I teach them how I personally study. And people sometimes are overwhelmed, and their comment is, well, how do I do this like you? I said, you don't want to be like me. You want to be like Jesus. And ultimately, that's where ministry is going. We are learning to become more and more like Jesus through how we serve. We want the people that we serve with and the people that we serve to become more and more like Jesus. So I've seen it as though when you step on the sand of the beach, your footprints don't last very long. They're filled in again by the water and eventually by the sand. And it makes it a seamless journey. That's what this is. We didn't come here to make a name for Van and Debbie Putman. We came here to glorify God. And we're leaving knowing that He will continue, because this is His church. These are His ministries. You all are His people. And He loves every single person. He will not let you down. I can guarantee that.
Thank you, God, for all that you're doing, because nothing we do is important. Everything God does is important. And whatever we've done, it's all to the glory of God, not to the glory of us.
And Van and Debbie will always be a part of our church family. They're moving states away, but they're part of our family. And it's incredible not only what they have done serving-wise, but that they want to continue to share that with us so that we can, as a church, be encouraged. And you know exactly what they said. God has given you a gift for a reason. What is it that God is pushing you to step in and do? It's incredible that we get to celebrate locally, and we get to celebrate what is happening within the church and through people serving in the church, but we also get to celebrate globally. And Heights is incredible because we don't just have an impact here locally, we have an impact globally. We have an incredible global department that has partners all around the world that we work with. And we actually got to send teams recently to two different locations. And so we want to celebrate some of these teams. We want to celebrate what happened on a trip that was taken to Jordan and a trip that was taken to the Dominican Republic. And so the leaders of those teams want to just share with you, hey, this is what some of the amazing things that happened, and give you a peek into that so that as a family, we can celebrate those teams. We can celebrate the work that's being done globally. We can celebrate the lives that are being changed around the world and the role that we get to play in it. So would you just help me welcome the leader of our Jordan trip, Pastor Ben.
Good morning, church. A couple weeks ago, y'all got to hear a little bit about the Jordan trip. I was able to share a piece out of when we visited Azraq, but that was just one day of the trip. We spent 9 days in Amman. It's a city of about 2.4 million people, and we just got to experience so much that God was doing through not only Jamel's organization, but also other organizations we partnered with. So I just wanted to share some more pictures with that, and the first picture I got is right here, and this is at their community center. So many of you know this, but I just always want to share it because it's near and dear to my heart. Is we partner with Jamel and this community center through our Park Collective initiative down in Prescott Valley. So out of our vision fund, we give 10% of that to Jamel's organization. So the community center in Prescott Valley is directly partnered with Jamel's community center in Amman. And what you'll see here is they're holding up some certificates, but they have created these skill sets, and they teach them trades and computer software, candle making, barbershops, salons, and they're teaching them trades. Like, they're empowering them to be able to go and make their own living, make their own money to be able to support their families. And these are all refugees. And so within that, they're able to also do Bible studies throughout the week. And one of the amazing things about this is that Jordan knows Jamel's a Christian, but it's one of the top five organizations in Jordan that helps refugees. And what the government did was, is they made those certificates official. So just like you could get a certificate through a university that's not a degree, but still education, the government recognizes these. So God is just breaking down barriers that even though it's a Christian organization, the government says, hey, we're going to work with you. We're going to recognize these certificates, and we're going to do what we can to support these refugees. And so it's just an amazing thing that Jamel's doing out there. We also have a couple pictures of a Syrian refugee camp we visited. And what's amazing about this is we partnered with a ton of humanitarian organizations that weren't just Jamel's organization. We had doctors go out there. Just how small of a world it is when we met somebody from the embassy that was dropping some stuff off, they go, I heard you were from Arizona. And we were like, yeah, yeah. And they go, I graduated from Yavapai Community College. I was like, shut up. And he goes, yeah, I went and got my master's somewhere else, but this is a guy that worked at the embassy, and we're having a conversation in Amman, Jordan, and he went to Yavapai Community College, so go Rough Riders. But this is a Syrian refugee camp, and we were able to go visit them. It was a camp when I went last year of about 400. It was down to about 150. They moved for a variety of reasons, but they were able to get medical attention. We were able to hand out food and toys to kids. And just, again, just trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus, just meeting people where they are at. But I think one of the most special things about going there was is, so you get to experience these home visits. Like, that's a lot of what you do. So your first time home visits, you're not praying with them. You're not sharing Jesus with them. The country is 99.9% Muslim. So your first home visits, you're just establishing a foundation. You're going there with food bags. You're going there with medication, vitamins, kids' vitamins, things like that. And so these first home visits are just an introduction, and you're really getting to hear all about their story and how they got there. And all the stories are the same from the refugees. They are leaving these countries that have just been worn torn, or they've been pushed out by ISIS, which in their language is Daesh. And you'll hear that in every story, Daesh this, Daesh that, Daesh this. Because if you're not an extreme enough Muslim, they'll try to kill you just like they will a Christian. And so what I got from that was, man, these are just normal people that want their kids safe. They want to raise their kids in a safe place. They don't want bombs going off. They want to be able to protect their husband or wife. Like, these are just normal people. These are just people that want to live a safe life and have their kids get an education. And all these people had to leave from, they were dentists or carpenters, or they had real jobs and real life. But because of war, because of ISIS, they've had to push out. And they're in really tough situations. And that's what I love what Jamel's doing. And I love that we partner with him, because we made these shirts a few years ago for people. And we're for all people. And what that means is we're going to accept people right where they're at. But that doesn't mean we approve of their choices. It doesn't mean we approve of their belief system. But like Jesus came full of grace and truth, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to love people right where they're at. I was able to meet a couple, that husband and wife couple, that started a prison ministry. And they did not see anyone come to Jesus for 10 years. They were only allowed to get into one prison for several years. They were only able to meet with one or two guys within this prison. 10 years, they didn't see any fruit. But they knew God was calling them. They knew God was calling them to these prisons in these Muslim countries. And then they started to see a little fruit. And then they started to get into several of the prisons. And I'm just here today to say, if you have been chasing a dream or something you know God has called you to, don't stop. Keep pushing forward. Trust that you're doing what God has called you to. And he's in charge of that timeline. God does not move slow as we like to think about it, you know? It says that one day is like 1,000 years to him, and 1,000 years is like a day. If God's put something in your heart that's good and sharing the gospel and it's moving too slow for you, trust in him and press forward. Because we celebrate our God and everything he does. But we didn't just visit Jordan over this year, this beginning of this first year. We also got to visit DR. And with that, we're going to have Pastor Bob share some things.
Good morning. I had the privilege of leading a team of 12 to Dominican Republic last month. And what we've been doing down there, we have a connection down there. His name is Nelson Paulino. And Nelson was working with Vision Trust, but about 5 years ago, a little over, he felt he got a vision from God to start this new ministry, which is called Casa Misionera. So what Casa does is Nelson goes to every church in Dominican Republic where he has a connection. He will ask the youth pastor there, give me your top two or three kids that are graduating high school that are on fire for the Lord. Then he says, I'll pay for their college for 4 years, but they have to do a 4-year leadership program with me. His goal is to raise up leaders in various fields in the country with the idea of we're going to change this country with this younger, new generation. So we have the privilege of going down there, and it was amazing. We worked beside the CASA students. So we'll go with these students, do whatever mission it is with them, and then they take the ministry over and run these kids. So I want to show you a quick video, and I'll explain a couple things while the video is going on. First of all, the only tough part about doing Dominican Republic, we're getting out of this bus after 24 hours of travel with very little sleep. This is one of the churches in the Dominican. That guy is handsome. Don't know. So what they're doing here, that is Nelson Paulino. So he's going to introduce this group of students that are in Casa Misionera, and then they will tell you what their major is in college and how they expect and hope to change the country. We're coming in here. This is pretty interesting, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it after. That's a public school, so we give a gospel message in a public school. The next kid up in the white shirt, pay attention to him. That boy, I'll tell you about him in a minute. We had so many students accept Jesus Christ that day, and that is our team and their team praying with them. And then those kids will follow up and get them plugged in to local churches. So it's amazing. So I want to tell you that boy in the white shirt, this is a very... it's such a God story. So I was in Dominican with Casa Misionera 2 years ago, and we were in that public high school. They kind of rushed us out at the end. We had to get to the next thing. So I literally took a picture with one boy. He came up, and he didn't speak English, so never got his name, gave him a hug, took a picture, went on. This past December, Todd and I went down there because Casa Misionera was graduating their first 4-year class. So we went to the graduation. Really fell in love with what they're doing. It is amazing, this idea of changing a country with these young people. So anyway, we got back, and I called Nelson up, and I said, hey, I would really, me and my wife have been talking. We want to sponsor one of the kids through college. And so he said, okay, well, you were in Nagua. Most of the stuff you're going to do missions-wise will be in Nagua. So he said, I'll find a Nagua student. So he sends me a name, and I said, that's great. We'll sponsor that boy. So this time when I went down there last month, they go, do you want to meet the boy you're sponsoring? So I did, and I met him, and I gave him a hug, and his name is Yendi. And I go, I'm talking to him. I go, Yendi, wait a minute. I pull out my phone. I said, I was in Dominican 2 years ago at a public high school, and I showed him the picture. I go, is that you? He goes, yes, I accepted Jesus that day. And now I am in Casa Misionera. Yes. And the amazing part now is Yendi and I talk literally every day. Yendi is discipling 5 boys right now, and so I kind of try to help him with that from our end. And then I want to show you some of the other stuff we do while we're in DR, because I think pictures and videos speak better than I could. So if you could show that next video. So in the villages near the churches, they know who is needy and who needs money and or food and prayer. So they send our teams in there, and then we bring them food. You'll see the kids bringing it in, and we pray with them. And then the church makes the connection with them after that. We had a couple building projects they let us do with people to make that connection to the church too. So we got to put a roof on, and we got to do cement work, which was really fun. You recognize a lot of these people on that team from church. This is one of the church services they did in a village outside. And when they party during a church service, they really get into it. It's amazing. We also went to 4 or 5 other church or schools and gave gospel messages, and kids were coming to Christ everywhere. And then the CASA students will connect them in so they continue to keep going. So amazing to see what God is doing in Dominican Republic and the privilege we have of, it's a continual involvement. So literally our team of 12 has been in touch with these Dominican students on the weekly, keeping in touch, helping them grow and encouraging them. And now Pastor Todd will lead a trip down to Dominican in June to run a high school camp with CASA Misionera students. So we are just amazed at what God is doing, not just here, but globally. So one of the things about that, we say it all the time, we couldn't do these things without your support and your generosity. So thank you, because you're a part of this celebration too.